Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show. On the Mark, I'm Mark Lawrence. Rob Setter, our fabulous producer. I inadvertently said that he was done with his work today, but that is not true. He gets to be our producer today, so we appreciate that. I could ask about the Eagles and the Cowboys a little bit later on. I think I should do that. I know the Eagles are favored. I know the Cowboys are not. Beyond that, I don't know too much about it, so I'm glad to say that my good friend, U.S. Army veteran and insurance man and businessman, and probably one of the most active volunteers in our community for decades. You know, like I did a little spurt of work here and a spurt of work there, but you've been helping in the community and volunteering for 50 years or so?
50.
Okay, good for you. You're like Joe McGranahan. You ask him how...
Joe's the same way. Joe's been active in Smoking Dam and in politics and in the chamber, and Joe's the same way. He has been a real rooter for the Valley.
Yeah, everything. It's funny how he talks about, well, I was on the United Way board in 1971, and we just, and I'm like, wait a minute, 71, I was a teenager, come on. So, all right, well, yeah, thanks for coming in. John Shipman, if I didn't even actually say the name, so he's back. Good conservative, real common sense guy, family man, and when it comes to politics, do you ever get irritated? Does it actually irritate you when you see what's going on in Washington?
It's disheartening. It's beyond irritating. It's disheartening that Washington is so dysfunctional that they can't get the people's work done. It's just vicious, vindictive language toward the other party, and the people suffer. Sometime we have to bring some sanity back.
Well, and it's funny because it was probably 6 months ago I had sort of this base conversation with you, and you had talked about the elites in Washington. I thought, okay, well, that's one way to work at it. That's fine. You know, it's certainly an informed view, and I think that's interesting. And then I saw the speaker's stalemate last week, and where Matt Gaetz essentially said, no, I want to be elite, too. And Marjorie Taylor Greene said, no, I want to be elite. And then even the Democrats say, no, we want to hold on to our sort of piece of this that's sort of above all. So we're going to nominate just one person and only one person. And
speaking of elites, we have 4,000 of them meeting this week in Davos, Switzerland. They all flew there in their private jets. Some of those jets seat 12, 15 people, but they want you and me to ride a bicycle. So, you know, the elite, the rules never apply to the elites. The rules only apply to the common people.
What happens? Well, I have that on my list of things to talk about, and we did talk a little bit about it yesterday. It actually irritates some people. You know, this is disheartening to see that this is happening at Davos, but I question the relevance of it because, like, if you and our good callers didn't remind me about it, I might not know about it. So what's the relevance? So I'll ask that a little bit later on. But the debt ceiling's out there. The state legislature, I don't know if it's elitism or stubbornness, but they are completely idle. One of our listeners, Cindy, called us on Tuesday and said, hey, why don't we not pay them? And I thought, okay, that's a good comment. And then the next day they did nothing, and the next day they did nothing. And the Senate adjourned with a busy schedule, decided to go home.
Well, we're one of the few states that has a full-time legislature. The majority of the states, legislature adjourns by the end of May, and they go home to regular jobs and so forth. And they don't have lifetime pensions, and they don't have all the kind of stuff. You know, our legislature is probably as close to the federal government as any state is, and we probably need to look at reforming it. But the problem is the Constitution we have doesn't give the people any opportunity to do that. The people cannot, like, you can have propositions out in California and other states. You can't do that in Pennsylvania. So you have to beg your congressperson or your state senator to propose a constitution to the U.S. to Pennsylvania, an amendment to the Pennsylvania Constitution, because you and I can't do that.
And the legislature won't do it themselves. They actually flirted with it sort of in a fakey way a couple years ago. Say, oh, yeah, we're going to reduce the size. No, nope, never mind. Procedurally, we'll come up with a way not to do it. You know, nobody wants to cut off the branch they're sitting on. The cushy, padded, staff-helped, vehicle-provided branch that you're sitting on. Although I did notice that they upped their salary, but they decided not to keep state cars. So I guess that's sort of a slight change there. But I'm not sure that that was adopted. I know it is in the House, but I'm not sure about the Senate. But in any event, okay. All right, so welcome aboard, folks. There's more than enough to talk about if you want to talk about the issues of the day, whether it's in the Pennsylvania legislature or the U.S. debt ceiling. The Alec Baldwin shooting, very interesting. I find myself asking, why does he have to be charged? And prosecutors am I hearing from you and your observation, prosecution and others, in some states anyway, have an obligation to come up with a charge that relates to a homicide?
Yeah, when you take a life, they're really obligated, unless it's self-defense. But if you take a life, it can be murder in the first degree or second degree. It can be voluntary manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter. But when you take a life, you're guilty. If you're driving your car on a wintry day and you skid across the center lane and strike someone else's car and the person in that car dies, you will be charged, most likely, with manslaughter, not murder, manslaughter. That wasn't intentional, but nevertheless, you took an innocent life. And I think that's what the prosecutors have there. We face this every day in the automobile insurance industry, where people say, it wasn't my fault. It was, you know, the rain or the hydroplaned or the ice and whatever. And we say, well, we're sorry. But here's the ramifications. Your insurance company is going to provide you a defense and so forth, but you're probably going to be charged.
You're supposed to drive in such a manner as to not hurt anybody.
Correct. And the same here. He picked the gun up. He pointed it, and he fired it. I read an article this week that said the reason he's being charged is he pulled the trigger. And so, same thing. He didn't mean to do it. He probably pulled that trigger 100 times or 1,000 times in movies, and it never happened before, but he didn't check the weapon before he fired it.
Well, who would look for a live round on a movie set? I mean, honest to Pete.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, that's a strange thing that it was there at all. That whoever brought live rounds to that part of the business world of Hollywood making, although it wasn't in Hollywood, I guess it's also culpable. All right. Well, so these are some of the issues of the day. Alec Baldwin, the legislature, the debt ceiling, the meeting in Davos. We talked about climate yesterday. We would invite, somebody sent us an email about the greatest public fraud in U.S. history. It's probably the state legislature, I'm assuming. Well, maybe it's Washington. All right. So we invite folks to call us. We have a telephone number. It's 570-743-7885. You'll remember in years past, we had a toll-free line. We have abandoned the toll-free line on the show. We're just using the landline. It's 570-743-7895 is the telephone number. Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, the difference between the news line. Okay, well, I got to make sure I got the number right. Yeah, thank you. All right. Rob's our fabulous producer and has a correction here. 7885 is the newsroom. 9565 is the telephone number. So not only did I change the number, but I gave out the wrong one. Boy, I got it all going on today. Thank you, Rob. A lifesaver, as always, over on the other side of the glass. So, this is the actual number. Rob knows this to be true, and Stan got through on it, so he did a super job with perseverance. 570-743-9565 is our telephone number. That's 570-743-WKOK. At least that much may help you through there. Stan, thank you so much for calling in. You're on the mark. Good morning. Thanks for perseverance.
Oh, yeah. I only took a couple phone calls, so no big deal. Good morning. Now, as far as Baldwin goes, how much time do you think he'll spend in prison?
Well, see, that's the thing. We only really covered so far the fact that prosecutors have to prosecute, but judges and juries don't have to convict and penalize.
Yeah, I think what's the prosecutor has a responsibility, if there's a crime, to bring charges. Where it goes from there, who knows, because it's going to go probably to a jury trial. The judge will preside and give the rules, and the jury will look at the circumstances. And many times people are acquitted, even though they have taken a life. We've talked about, you know, an automobile accident or something. Sometimes people are acquitted. So Stan makes a good point. We have no idea, and I would say that it's probably 50% or maybe less that he will be convicted of any serious. And even if he's convicted, he can be given a six-month sentence and have it suspended. So, you know, we have no idea what the outcome will be.
Well, yeah, that I do know. But, Mark, you asked the question, how could live ammo possibly get on a movie set? And I would agree with you. It should never, ever be on a movie set. But my understanding from what I've read about it is the crew would go out either before or after they were done shooting for the day and do have target practice on the set because it was out in a rural area, so in the desert, so there was no issue with, you know, backstops and all that. They could do that. But somehow live ammo obviously got mixed in with the blank or dummy ammo, and the results are what happened.
Wow. Isn't that
so? that's the reason. There's a few people that are in the chain of custody, from my understanding of the weapons, but Baldwin was the final step, and he didn't take the time to check the gun to make sure that it was not a live gun. Then there should never be, in my opinion, live ammo on a movie set. Period. There's no reason for it. With all the special effects they have, blanks. Blanks can do enough damage if they're too close when they fire it. But, you know, live ammo is definitely never. But it is what it is, and time will tell how it, you know, fleshes out in the courts. Hopefully it goes to court, and hopefully he spends some time in prison so he can reflect on how stupid he was. But, you know, we won't know for some time, I'm sure, because they'll, you know, the lawyers will get involved and blah, you know how that goes. Anyways.
Well, and there's a lot of civil proceedings from this, too. A lot of lawsuits pending against, everybody involved.
Right, and there should be, because there, you know, there's some people that were supposed to be responsible to be safe, and they weren't. So, but that's not why I called. You asked, why is Davos irrelevant to what's going on in the world? Something along those lines, correct?
Right, yeah. Why is it relevant?
Okay. Because we have world leaders there. There are heads of corporations there. There are heads of news media. We have the FBI director there. Now, can you tell me why the FBI director needs to be at the World Economic Forum? Why are they there? Well,
it's his, you know, it's his so, pre-exit so they, strategy.
Right. Did you hear his remarks?
So they're pushing, you know, energy. Well, basically, not dominance. They want to suppress energy because of climate change. So they want to push everybody onto bicycles or electric and off of fossil fuels, as they put it. So we will see a large number of people die because they will freeze, among other things. Now, that's one thing they're pushing. They're also pushing that we need to get rid of people eating meat, especially in the developed world. Let's go eat some bugs. They're pushing that. Now, they have no way to enforce that right now, but if you get the government involved with anything, eventually it'll work its way into the system. You know, they're working in the European Union. They're advertising, oh, we should just eat bugs. They're good for you. And they're doing. I heard some clips today of guys in news media. They're testing it to make cookies and stuff, making the mealworms and grinding them up and to make them into flour and to make them in the fat paste instead of using butter or milk and that stuff. And once they get to a certain percentage of the mealworm flour, then people can start seeing a difference in taste. Up to 25%, they say, oh, not so much. But we got to get rid of cows because of cow farts. You know, they're just the methane and stuff that's coming out in the world. It's just terrible. So I'm going to ask a real simple question. You kill every one of the domesticated animals on Earth. What do you do with all the wildlife ruminant animals on Earth that emit methane on a daily basis.
Well, we need to work on achieving a balance, whatever it is. Scrap the whatever ideas or individuals the elites at Davos want to do. What makes more sense? John, you heard what the FBI Director Christopher Wray said while in Davos. What was that?
Yeah, his remarks were something that every American should listen to, because he basically said that the FBI has been working with big tech, and that basically they know everything about everybody, and this is a good thing, except if it's someone uses it for a bad purpose. So listen to his remarks. Now, he didn't exactly say those words, but if you listen to the remarks, he is telling them how encouraging it is that the FBI has worked with big tech to help do their job, prevent crime, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And so it's chilling if you really think of the potential abuse.
Right. They're censoring people's free speech. The FBI, that's the government. That is a clear violation of the First Amendment. Okay? So how and when will these people be held accountable for violating people's rights? That's what I want to know.
Well, this Freedom Coalition, that's one of their planks, is to make sure that the government overreach gets looked at, talked about, exposed, and then, curtailed, I guess, would be the ultimate outcome.
Okay. I think probably
the penalty for the people that did it?
The only active group right now that's doing anything about that is the Convention of States. And the Convention of States, unfortunately, is being opposed even by some gun owners groups and so forth. But the Convention of States wants to do three things: term limits for federal officials, balancing the federal government budget, and reducing the power of the federal government. And if that can be accomplished, we can take back our country. If it can't, the future doesn't look too bright.
Yeah, I agree. Now, my question again, the people that are violating, the government officials violating people's rights, what is the penalty that they will serve for violating our rights?
Well, we've given them so much discretion over the years. We've been so idle in monitoring and rebuking them. They probably voted things that we saw go right under our noses that gave them the power to do everything they've done. I mean, look at how George H.W. Bush expanded things under the Patriot Act.
Constitution.
Right, but look how we've expanded things in the Patriot Act after 9/11. Watching our snail mail and our email and our text messages, of supposedly, monitoring them for keywords. But at the same time, that's one man's monitor is another person's spy.
No, okay, the monitoring is one thing. Suppressing, stopping, preventing people from speech, putting it out there, is a violation of the First Amendment. Now, the spying and stuff, that would be a Fourth or Fifth Amendment thing with unreasonable search and seizure, I'm assuming. Now, they have to be sued for that, too. But my question, how will these people be penalized? See, if you or I did it, something to penalize, violated other people's rights, say murder. If I murder somebody, that's violating somebody's rights, don't you think?
Well, why is it illegal? If you go into a private business in Danville and say, look, anytime somebody asks for a latte, I don't want you to serve that, and that coffee shop says, okay, fine, we won't serve lattes anymore. Thank you, Stan.
Who goes into it? The government?
You or anybody else, yeah. And so what the government did is they went to Facebook and they said, don't let conservatives have equal platform. And this private business they went into said, okay, that's fine.
And that is the government forcing private individuals or private corporations to do their bidding. That is a violation of the Constitution, Mark. When are you going to realize that? When the government is involved in coercing and forcing these companies to do their bidding, it's a violation. My question again, when will they be held accountable, and what is the penalty?
So, Stan, I'd like to ask you a question. How would you suggest that we address that?
How would we address what? the government going into these private corporations?
The problem you're describing of government intrusion into the rights of individual U.S. citizens, how would you suggest that we address that? I mean, it's one thing to say, oh, it's bad and it's terrible and it violates the First Amendment, and I agree with you on that. How should we address that?
Well, there need to be some people made examples of. And I don't know what the criminal statute would be for violating other people. If a white person attacks a black person, there's civil rights violations that the DOJ comes after him for, and there's penalties for that, correct?
Sure, hate crimes, all kinds of stuff.
I'm just saying beat up or whatever. There's penalties for all that, right? In the criminal code.
Well, the other question we'd have to ask ourselves is, we keep electing these people, we send them back. When are we going to be held criminally culpable?
That's another whole issue. You know, they're elected there, and I understand that. But, okay, that's the elected officials. The FBI director is not an elected official, okay? He works for somebody, which is the president. So if that's coming down to that, then that would be a violation. Wouldn't that be an impeachable offense just for that?
Well, he's a fireable offense. He's at the will of the president. All right, we got to hit the road, Stan. Good questions all, though. Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Have a good day.
Yep, much appreciated. All right, 1-800-795-9565. There's some real fools here. I see them when I look in the mirror because we keep sending these guys back. You know, we said to Tom Marino and Fred Keller and George Gikas, hey, you're doing a great job slowly eroding all of our rights. Please go back to Washington immediately and get rid of some more, would you please? All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Scratch that. That's a false statement. 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-9565 is our telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. We will be right back. Our program sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, 570-743-9565 is our telephone number. That's 570-743-WKOK. Memorize that. We like many businesses. Are a lot of businesses getting rid of their toll-free lines?
You know, they are. A lot of businesses have now gone to voice over internet. A lot of companies, you know, if you're an AT&T customer, they're almost forcing you to go VOI. And the other thing is, almost everybody today has a cell phone. Well, you can make unlimited calls on your cell phone with no charge. So it becomes a matter of, does it really pay anymore to have a toll-free number? And I think more and more corporate companies are abandoning toll-free numbers. It just doesn't make sense to have them anymore.
Right. And I guess the hope is that our good on-the-mark listeners are motivated callers, so they'll memorize the new number and write
it
down.
They'll just put it in their cell phone.
Right. That's true. And then they'll call. Well, landlines have presets, too. Remember when you'd get a landline, you'd sit there for the first week putting your little presets in there. And I remember the Seinfeld skit about being number one, who was number two, number three. I'll never forget the joke my lovely bride tells about being top priority in my life. You know, she said, I knew when I married Mark I wouldn't be number one, that his parents would be number one, and then number two would be Carly, and number three would be WKOK, and number four might be the church. She said, I always knew I'd be number one, but I never knew I'd be number eight. She said, so I had to move her up. So, all right. Yeah, I had to get my priorities straight. So, yeah, but we fixed that. We fixed that in a big hurry. All right. So, yeah, we'll launch into the 9 a.m. hour. I want to tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company, and they're a family-owned dealership since 1915. They are a great, great, great sponsor. We thank them so much for being on board. They keep us in the black with or without the toll-free line, and for that, we are grateful. They are also looking for some folks. You hear about a worker shortage in this world? Well, they have been impacted somewhat by this. Not too much, but a little bit. So they're looking for entry-level folks or experienced folks, whatever you want to do. You want to work or say you want to be in the quick lane, you know, super serving customers. They keep about 20 balls in the air there in the same time over there, but they can do it, and they work closely with the full-size garage, too. So they're shuttling cars back and forth, making sure that everybody gets super served in a short amount of time. So, yeah, they're looking for employees at the Sunbury Motor Company, and they're selling vehicles. We're talking about some of the vehicles, one of which is a Hyundai Venue. It's a larger SUV, maybe about the size of a Ford Edge, if you wanted to say there's something like that. But ultra-fuel efficient, 32 miles to the gallon. It includes a hybrid, too, that's going to save you even more money. Ultra-economical. How about prices that start about $20,000 for the Hyundai Venue? So check that out. All the Hyundais, Kias, and Fords at the Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com. Open phones on the issues of the day when we return with John Shipman. I'm Mark Lawrence. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
All right, welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. We were, strangely enough, talking off mic with John about how terrible our government is on the Social Security. Ages and numbers are going higher.
And well, what's happened right now in the latest budget act, required minimum distributions from your pension or from your 401k are delayed till age 73. That happened a year and a half ago. This one now, or 72. Now, starting next year, it will be 73. So you don't have to start taking your pension or your 401k money till you're 73. The same act, 10 years from now, it will be 75. Mm. So they're recognizing people live longer and some people work longer and so forth. Social Security, on the other hand, still is 62 for early retirement, 67 for normal retirement, which is up 2 years in the last 10, and 70 is the maximum. So the next step, I think, for Social Security, which is in trouble, but we never fix it until it's a catastrophe. I think you're going to see you can delay Social Security, say, to 72, but I think what's going to happen is that they're going to start phasing out 62 as early retirement, and eventually early retirement will be 64 or 65. So there's going to be Social Security. Here's the hypocrisy. Everybody in Washington knows the Social Security system is in trouble. Everybody in Washington knows it's going to run out of money in 2035. Everybody in Washington knows that at that point, they'll only be able to pay current retirees 70% of their benefit. Okay? So if you're getting $1,000 a month now, you're going to pay you $700. If you're getting $2,000,
we know this is going to have to happen.
Yeah, will happen, because right now that they're going to be broke by 2035.
Because we've borrowed the money out of this.
Oh, yeah.
System.
There's no money. It's all IOUs. Okay. So they're going to have something like they had 25 or 30 years ago when they changed it the last time, where full retirement age used to be 65. Then it was 65 in 2 months and 60. So all the way now it's 67. So a normal retirement has moved from 65 to 67. There are going to be legislation. The problem is they're all hypocrites down there. They point for political gain the parties point the finger at each other and say, they want to take away your Social Security benefits.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is, if they don't do something, they're going to take all of our Social Security benefits away.
Okay.
So they have to do something probably in the next 5 or 10 years, but who knows
when. Whose Congress people are they? Do they work for some private company we don't know about?
They're supposed to serve the people very well.
I was just going to say. All right. Yeah. John's going to be leaving here today feeling worse about the government than ever. We're going to bring up everything that proves it.
Oh, see me for your 401k.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, so Joe looked at it yesterday after we talked to Mr. McFarland, because he said that's the first place you'll notice the impact, that the Wall Street will sense it right away, even if we're months from the actual default. Just speaking uncertainly makes uncertainty real to some investors. So, and of course, Dow Industrial went down yesterday. So did the S&P. There's the downward trickle continue. I guess trickle. Well, Wednesday was a big jump.
The problem this week was that retail sales, which were supposed to be up, are down for December 1.7%. Now, that's a huge drop. They were up in October, and everybody said, consumers are outspending. And I was saying, they're doing their Christmas shopping early. Black Friday was a disaster. You know, Black Friday sales were well below what was anticipated. Now, when I say well below, you're talking about 1 or 1.5%. But when you're talking trillions of dollars, 1.5% means, it's a good bit of money. Now we find out December sales stalled because everybody bought before the end of November. So, huge layoffs. Banks are laying off tens of thousands.
Tech workers.
Tech is laying off tens of thousands. Why is the unemployment rate so good? I believe firmly that there is what's helping prop unemployment up is a lot of people are getting second jobs. You know, when you look at the average family has lost $7,000 in purchasing power in the last 2 years. So what do you do about that?
Because of inflation.
Yeah, because of inflation. So what do you do about that? Well, you can't demand your employer pay you $7,000, but you can go take a part-time job and work 15 or 20 hours on the side and make $14, $15 an hour, make another $15,000 to help offset the loss of earning power. And there are a lot of people that are doing that, and the unemployment numbers don't show that. In other words, if you already have a job at WKOK, but you moonlight in your off hours, and I know you don't have many of them, but you find another job in your off hours, and that counts as another worker. Okay, they can't distinguish between Mark Lawrence here full time, Mark Lawrence here part time. So when the government statistics, that shows another additional job, when in fact it's an employed person who took a second job.
Oh, okay, so the underemployment issue we used to talk about has kind of morphed into a double employment. So people are being counted twice.
Well,
we have employment statistics.
We still have the underemployment. We have 7 million able-bodied American men between the ages of 21 and 60 that aren't working.
At all. By choice.
Right.
Our labor participation rate's like 61 or 62.
Yeah, it was over 66 here not too long ago, but it's
gone down to from ridiculous to just holy smokes.
And you know that those people aren't starving. So they're either got government benefits or they're working off the grid. And this is what this is why Biden wants 84,000 more IRS workers, because there are a lot of people who work for cash or check. Okay, they're handy people. They do this. They'll detail your car. They'll fix the gutters on your house. They'll fix the sink and so forth. And you give them a check, and they go to your bank and cash the check. So the IRS has no way to track your
check. Who did it?
Right. So when he says, "Oh, we're only going to go after people with at least $400,000 in income. Don't believe that for a minute.
Yeah, right. So, well, just don't believe. If it came out with it's Dateline Washington, take it right to the shredder. Say, okay, they're still trying to stick it to us. All right, so welcome aboard. That's John Shipman, our good co-host today, actual conservative. I portray a very bad liberal on the radio. I poorly portray good liberals. I'm trying to portray a good liberal. I'm just not doing it well, is what I'm trying to say here. But anyway, so we would invite you to call us today on these topics. The fact that our Washington, D.C. government has absolutely no interest in us. They are only interested in their own power and their elitism and you know, making sure that they keep the branch fully flourishing that they have carved out for themselves. We talked about this. Pennsylvania legislature is idle at the moment, in part because of the speaker, but just because, in part, they can't agree on things. Alec Baldwin's shooting popped up as a conversation here. Prosecutions are obligated to charge, and so they did involuntary, probably one of the lowest charges you can that relates to a death, and then judges and juries will sort it out from there. The debt ceiling got raised up, and the Davos elites are hard at work, including the FBI director over there that's saying, yeah, we're very carefully monitoring people in the U.S. to make sure that they're all behaving. So that's another word for spying on people, I think, right?
Sure.
Monitoring. I like that. If the government says they're monitoring something, you can bet you just lost some rights. But anyway, okay. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, the telephone number is 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WKOK. You can email us and on the mark at WKOK.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. We talked a little bit about convention of states. That could be a solution. What are some other solutions that we're talking about here? You know, what are some solutions that relate to our U.S. Congress and Senate people just being so disinterested in doing things that actually help us Americans? What are the solutions there associated with that? Government overreach. What's the solution? And it's only going to get worse. All right, here are some very brief news headlines. There were no injuries reported when a vehicle went into a home in Snyder County late last night. Vehicle ended up in the living room of a home on Route 522 between McClure and Beaver Springs. No injuries. Red Cross invited to help the family there. Beaver Springs and Bannerville volunteers responded. CSR 911 did the dispatching. An 81-year-old Union County resident died in a crash on Route 15 in Kelly Township, Union County, Wednesday evening. Accident happened on the highway near Ziegler Road. State troopers say Saunders Edwards of Lewisburg inadvertently turned in front of a tractor-trailer truck. He died at the scene. The trucker was not injured. State Public Utility Commission says electric rates are up about 25% over a year ago, and natural gas almost as much. They're issuing some advice for consumers, or at least telling you where you can get money-saving advice.
Chairman Gladys Dutrell says the PUC's winter utility bill checklist provides ways for consumers to monitor their energy costs.
They should review their monthly bills to track the energy usage and the prices. They can understand the impact of cold weather and check the prices from competitive suppliers. That's very important. As well, explore conservation.
The checklist can be found at puc.pa.gov. The PUC says just a few days of bitter cold temperatures can have a big impact on utility bills. Mark Sims, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Center Square is reporting Pennsylvania lawmakers bid adieu to Harrisburg Wednesday for an unanticipated five-week break from their busy legislative schedule. Just one day after Governor Josh Shapiro's inauguration, the state Senate gaveled out until February 27th, effectively scrubbing the calendar that was packed with session days throughout the winter and into the spring. The House, meantime, exists in a state of limbo as leaders try to forge a compromise on reorganization rules in a six-member bipartisan working group that did convene this week for the first time since House Speaker Mark Rossi took over the chamber earlier this month. Partisan disagreements continue blocking the adoption of operating rules, committee assignments, and legislative votes, and Rossi says he will let no legislation to advance in his chamber until the extension of sexual assault rules are lifted in or extended in civil courts. So Is he an elite?
Yeah, right.
Okay. All right. Let's see. The number of COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths is going down statewide and locally. Unfortunately, there were 6 new deaths reported around here, 5 in Northumberland County and 1 in Snyder County, all related to COVID-19. President Biden is responding to criticism over the illegal mishandling of classified documents after his term as vice president. The controversy, though, irritated him yesterday when reporters kept asking him questions.
During storm damage in California, a frustrated President Biden.
You know, what quite frankly bugs me is that we have a serious problem here.
Wanting to focus on the state, answered a single question about the investigation into documents marked classified, recently found at his home in Wilmington, Delaware, and a D.C. office he used after his time as vice president.
We found a handful of documents were filed in the wrong place. We immediately turned them over to the archives of the Justice Department. There's no there there. Thank you.
This is the first time President Biden has addressed the controversy since Robert Hur was named special counsel to investigate.
Yeah, his defense attorney just said, no, we did not illegally mishandle classified documents. Do not tell the media that while you're in California. All right. Finally, this relates to our conversation about the government taking good care of us. CBS reports, ask the French and they'll probably tell you they love sitting around and doing nothing, but they'll have to do less of it. Their pension system is running out of money, so the government there wants to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. There were many protests this week. It says yesterday, so I'm assuming they mean Wednesday. Unions held nationwide strikes, shutting down airlines, train travel, and factories. Individuals not only want the retirement age to stay at 62, they want higher wages also in France. Okay, so folks, call us now, 570-743-9565 is the telephone number, 570-743-WKOK is the telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236, include the keyword OTM. We have one email and one text, so we can read those when we come back. John Shipman is here. I'm Mark Lawrence. Rob Setter is fabulouser than ever on the other side of the glass, taking good care of us. We talked about the elites in Washington sticking it to us in one way or another, making sure, of course, that they feather their bed even more cushily. Well, in cushily, is that an adjective? Do you happen to know? It is today. All right, so it works for me.
We'll make it one of it.
Yeah, we make up words as we go along here. A debt ceiling crisis talked about yesterday. Alec Baldwin. Energy prices are going up. This is really interesting because we talk about a recession and businesses were straining are straining more just to stay in the black, you know, maybe not do any bonuses or pay raises, just stay in the black because energy prices are going up and up and up. So we'll talk about that when we come back. You are listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK. Call us now with your opinion on these important topics or some other topic, 570-743-9565.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake, a service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. 3 dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, please memorize this. Do something I cannot. Memorize the new toll free. It's not even toll free. 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WKOK. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. One of our good listeners, after we talked about Alec Baldwin, I asked, does he have to be charged? And the simple answer now that it makes perfect sense is yes, somebody's got to be accountable in a criminal charge, and prosecutors prosecute. That's what they do. Judges and juries can acquit. or do light sentencing if they so choose. One of our listeners says, in his mind, I'm sure Alec Baldwin didn't consciously pull the trigger, but he obviously had his finger on the trigger with too much pressure, a negligent discharge for which he is responsible. Says one of our good listeners. Thank you. Another person says no one should receive paychecks in Harrisburg government until since they all want to go home. I don't get paid when I don't go to work. We should, we only have 150 characters on these texts. I'm assuming they say we should make, probably we should make them work or forego their wages, at least. Yes, Cindy suggested that on Tuesday, and they've been collecting paychecks ever since, so, and not doing anything. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We had Scott McFarland on the line yesterday talking about the debt ceiling, how it's really just some sort of a show that there really could not be really any substantial outcomes from it. Mike from Bloomsburg, what's your view on this topic?
Well, you know what? I'm glad you kind of reminded me what I was supposed to talk about, because when you started talking about that Alex Baldwin case in the gun, I started thinking to myself, you know, Hollywood is mostly made up of liberals and woke people. I mean, that's the way I see it, okay, the way they back the politicians and stuff. But darn, when you look at the movies and the shows that come out of that studio out there, there's an awful lot of guns and shooting up and banging and killing people, and it doesn't make sense for me, for people that profess in wanting to, you know, not have guns, to be showing them all the time on TV and on the big movie screens, does it?
Well, let's just clarify. They don't want you to have a gun. They have paid protection. So they have bodyguards that have lots of guns for their protection, but they don't want you to have a gun.
And that's, that's interesting. So I guess we just...
This is the attitude of the elite.
The attitude of the elite. The left. And before I talk about the debt ceiling, I just wanted to talk about, and this is important to me, linguistics, narratives, words that we use. And again, I'm trying to pay attention a little bit more to the mainstream media and what my friends are seeing on TV and hearing. But, you know, when Trump had classified documents, he stole them. It was theft of classified documents, hundreds of them, if not thousands of classified documents. But in Biden's case, he just mishandled them. There was only a few, and they were just marked classified. We don't know whether they were really classified, because we have a tendency of over-classifying things. So to me, you know, when it comes down to Biden and the Democrats, all we hear is excuses. And when it comes down to Republicans and Trump, we're all guilty as sin. And the last thing I'm going to say on this topic before I get to the debt was I saw Bob Casey on TV, and I'm surprised the ground under my feet didn't start shaking from his father rolling over in this grave when Mr. Casey, our Senator Bob Casey, came out and insinuated that the invasion at the southern border was all Republicans' fault. Okay? And I'm just thinking, how could that be? Number one, it has to be everybody's fault because we're putting up with it. And number two, it's really the Democrats in the United Nations that are facilitating this invasion. Okay, that said...
Well, let me stop you real quick. I can tell you where he draws that from. One of the liberal narratives out of Washington is that Republicans invite people to come here because they keep saying the border's open, and so that spreads the word in Central and South America and elsewhere that the border's open when, in fact, you know, it's not supposed to be, but by the time they get there, it's probably too late. Does that sound about right?
Well, I think that's a bogus argument.
Well, I agree. I'm just telling you that's the argument.
The Republicans talk about it all the time, and that lets people know about it. That's false.
No. What lets people know about it is the idea that they understand that they can walk across our border and just get in. I mean, that's what spreads. I mean, it's all over the world, and anybody that can get here, they're getting here. Anyway, okay, the debt and the debt ceiling. And again, it all comes down to narratives. And believe me, my friends on the left, I have lots of friends. Some of them got into Ivy League colleges, and they're saying what you're saying. Well, the Republicans are inviting them in by saying it's open. Come on. That's just ridiculous. I mean, there is maybe a little tiny contributing factor that you could apply to that, but that's not the reason.
90% of those people don't speak English.
Exactly, exactly, which is going to cause problems here. Okay, if, as far as the debt is concerned, and I'm relying on you, Ben, a very good friend of mine sent me a video. It says, if you really want to understand how much trouble we're in, give me a few minutes. And it's a congressman who outlines our federal budget. And he goes on to say how much of this money that really Congress has no say in what's happening. And for instance, one of them is Medicaid. We have this Medicaid program, and the 5 or 6 million people that have come into this country are essentially eligible for Medicaid right now. They can get that if they want, and all kinds of other benefits. And those benefits are essentially, what he says, on autopilot. Okay, so they don't have to be put up for any votes or anything. If we have more people taking the benefits, more money has to go there. And this fellow's position is that these, I forget what the word was, things that you get for free.
Entitlements.
Entitlements. These entitlements are growing so rapidly. His position is that pretty soon it's going to take up so much of the budget just based on the interest on the borrowing to fund those things that there's really no way out of them unless we address entitlements. And, you know, I guess it's my opinion that anytime there's an entitlement, it's really hard to take it away because people, it becomes part of life.
I'm entitled. Okay. That's so the French.
am I correct in understanding that our federal budget is on an autopilot to collapse?
Probably.
What he's saying?
Probably 70% of our federal budget is no longer discretionary. It's automatic. There are a few things like defense spending and so forth that actually is voted on and approved and so forth. But all the social programs that we have, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, welfare, aid to dependent people with dependent children, all of those programs are on autopilot. They're automatically, if you qualify, you're automatically put on the program. So we have 7 million able-bodied American men between the ages of 21 and 55 who don't go to work. So, you know, it's a problem. And we were just talking about that earlier because think about this. For the last 10 or 12 years, the federal interest rate has been 0 to 0.25%. So we had $20 trillion worth of debt, but we were only paying 0.25%. Now the Fed rate is 2.75, it's going to 3%. 10-year Treasury bond right now is about 3.5%. And so now we've got $32 trillion worth of debt, but we're paying 3% interest on that $32 trillion. So just the interest alone is an enormous amount of money, and we're obligated to pay it. The government borrowed it from the people, and they pay the interest every month on those bonds because they're obligated to pay. So, you know, we're financing. The financing isn't free. It's like you don't go to the finance company. You don't buy a new car, and they finance it for free. You know, if it's 0% interest, they built that into the price of the vehicle. But the government doesn't do that. So, yeah, you're right. We're headed for the cliff, and
we're in trouble.
You know, it's nobody in Washington wants to stop it. Listen, the Republicans are as bad as the Democrats. They vote for more spending, more spending, more spending. No one. You got a handful of people that say, "Well, we got to stop this," but you know, we need term limits.
Yeah, we do need term limits. We're essentially, from what you're saying, we're pouring gas on the debt fire.
We are.
And it's already lit. And the one thing that bothers me is, now you said a lot of important things right there, and it came out in very rapid order. And for people like me to try to digest what you're saying, it's hard to understand it and connect all the dots. And that's where I go back to the narratives that the media push. The other day, I'm listening to the news about the debt ceiling, and I think it was actually on your station, you know, the top and the bottom of the hour, and there was a woman, she was talking like she was watching World Trade Center collapse before her eyes. She was so sensational about what all the things that could happen wrong. And to me, basically, that narrative is just pushing the fact that if we don't get this debt ceiling raised, you're not going to have your Social Security, kids are going to die on the street, we're not going to be able to fund the government, the fire trucks aren't going to come to your house if it catches on fire. You know, it was just like insane. And the truth of the matter is, we're not talking about this as mature American people who care about the future of this country.
Yep.
And I just don't know what to say. I mean,
we're in trouble. We got to stop you there, Mike.
Let me just say, I have a very
good
friend.
Hold on, Mike.
Let me respond. Every great civilization has died not because they were defeated militarily, but because they spent themselves into bankruptcy and they could no longer even pay to defend their country. That happened to the Egyptians. That happened to the Babylonians. That happened to the Assyrians. That happened to the Greeks. That happened to the Romans. That happened to the British. Every great empire eventually collapses because of its own debt. Scipio said, who was a great Roman historian, said the beginning of the end came when the people discovered they could vote themselves bread. And we learned that in this country a long time ago.
All right, we got to hit the road, Mike. Thank you so much. A lot of food for thought there. Thanks for calling in, sir.
You take care now. Thank you. You're welcome. Bye.
Thank you. All right, 1-800, scratch that, 570-743-9565 is our telephone number. This is a habit. I mean, I wake up in the morning and give out the 800 number. So
I changed my office phone number. I moved from Sealands Grove to Lewisburg. Uh-huh. I'm telling you, a hard time. I carry my business card along just in case.
So you can remind yourself.
This is me.
This is my business card.
There you go.
I got it right on the screen in front of me. 570-743-9565. Are we in trouble? You know, I talked about a couple of weeks ago, I'm reading a book where they talk about, do we go through 20 to 30 year cycles? We get in these significant pivot points in our country where people say we're in trouble, and we certainly are facing an issue at that time. This seems more cataclysmic than others. It's just the fact that, you know, a country with no money, and of course, your prediction that great dynasties always die from within, not from without, is not comforting us at all. So I got to hit the break.
Okay.
But hold that thought, the sentence, in 2000, the fact that we're in trouble, and Joseph is waiting, so we'll be right back fast. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark, 1-800. Scratch that. Oh, there I go again. 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-9565. Rob just shrugs his shoulders. You know, when I do this again, he knows it's going to be a hard habit to break. One of our listeners says, hey, Tom says, Republicans raised the debt limit 49 times, Democrats 29 times, says Tom. So, yeah, this is definitely a bipartisan issue, which I think we've tried to underscore a little bit here today. I think we've talked about that a tiny bit. All right, Joseph, thank you for waiting through all of that. Much appreciated. You are now on the air.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. In defense of Alex Baldwin, I think he's a great actor, but I don't care for him as a human being. But I have to stand in defense of him because of something that happened to me many years ago when I was a teenager. Now, he said he didn't pull the trigger. And everybody says, that's crazy. He had to pull the trigger. Well, I believe him, okay? Now, why I believe him, he may have pulled the trigger, but his mind will not let him accept that. And why I say that is, when I was a young teenager, I come home from hunting. I had a 12-gauge old Winchester. It was a piece of crap. And anyway, I shouldn't have done this, but I was in the house, and I was unloading it. I had it pointed at the floor, and I was pumping the shells out, and it went off. Now, here's what happened. When that went off, I seen the fire fly out of the barrel. I never heard that gun. Now, if you can imagine a 12-gauge shotgun going off in the kitchen, well, it was in the dining room, and you're not hearing it inside the house, something happened in my mind. My mind, as soon as I saw the flame or the fire come out of the barrel, it shocked me so bad that I didn't hear it. I just shut my mind down, my hearing down. It should have broke your eardrums almost, you know what I'm saying. But I never heard that gun go off. And your mind can play those kind of tricks on you. And I'll tell you another story that, and this was later on when I was married, about 25 years old. I was dreaming. I was in bed, and I had a dream. And in this dream, a guy came in my bedroom, and he sit down on the bed. I went to school with this guy, and he was talking to me. And then he got up, and I was still in this dreaming, and he went to go down the steps, and I thought, what are you doing in my bedroom? It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. I jumped out of bed, and I run over there to swing at him, and when I swung, I hit my wife upside the head. I woke up.
Dear.
And now here's my point. What if I'd have had a gun laying under my pillow or on my bedside stand, and in the dream I would have grabbed that gun because I knew I had it there, and shot my wife. Would you believe me? I know you wouldn't. You see what I'm saying?
I think people are believed.
What if I would have killed her when I hit her with my fist upside her head because I was swinging in the dream at this man in the dream? You see what I mean? Would you believe that?
I think I do agree with your analysis that our mind can shut things out. Traumatic experiences.
In a fraction of a second.
Yeah, our mind can shunt traumatic experiences out.
Well, and I think for Alec Baldwin, if he doesn't remember, yes, it was traumatic, and so that's a factor there. But people can be acquitted through this traumatic issues. And one of our listeners sent me a text on the cell phone that said, unfortunately, Alec Baldwin was in the middle of a convergence of negligence. And as you may remember, Joseph, some triggers are very light. You hardly have to touch them. I have a 44 Magnum that once you pull the hammer back, it doesn't take much to make it go off.
Yeah,
so if he had done something like that, this is a 45, same thing. It's easier than a feather. It just takes the lightest touch to make it go off. But that's why it's accurate for deer hunting and other stuff, because, you know, you don't have to jerk the trigger.
I'm sure that when he, obviously he pulled the trigger, but when he did that and realized in this instant what he did, it just shut his mind down.
Yep,
I mean, that
could
be a horrific thing to do, to experience, I would imagine. You know, in my dream, would anyone believe me if I said I was dreaming and I was shooting at this guy in my house? You know, and I shot my wife.
I think there have been acquittals for such things, just based on things that we cover in the news. Under those circumstances, convincingly, and you, of course, if that had happened, you would have brought in a scientist and a doctor and a psychiatrist that say dreams can be overwhelming and realistic and,
oh my goodness,
and can make you think things aren't real. All right, we got you, Joseph. Thank you so much for calling in. Yep, thank you, sir. All right, 1-800... Here we go. This is my normal bridge. It's going to take a while, folks. Bear with me. We got rid of the toll-free line because we really just don't need it. Motivated callers, dial this number, 570-743-WDKOK. That's 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@WDKOK.com and text us at 70236. Before we took the last break, you started out a sentence, in 2000. Do you remember what that topic was?
Yeah. In 2009, the federal deficit was $9 trillion.
Oh, my gosh. Those were the days.
$9 trillion. So we have tripled, more than tripled, 3.5 times. We have more than tripled, almost quadrupled, the federal government in 14 years. This is a dangerous trend. You know, we've never been in a situation like this. After World War II, we had a similar situation. We paid it off. The next, of course, we had what brought the 70s on was in the 60s we had guns and butter. You know, we can afford to have guns and butter. We can fight the Vietnam War and we can have all these brand new programs. Before that, there was no Medicare. There was no Medicaid. All of that was part of the Great Society. So what happened to people who retired and didn't have health insurance? Well, that was an issue. Retirees greatly benefited from those programs, but they cost more than the revenue that comes in.
So we made Social Security. Well, that was made long before this time frame we're talking about. Yeah, but then we came up with subsidized housing too to help folks.
Subsidized housing.
So now taxpayers help pay for that.
We came up with a basic family income. So if you have a woman with children, she's going to have a basic income.
Oh, head of household
even
money,
if she can't work. And so I mean, we passed a plethora of social programs in 1965 and 66, and we're paying for them. And some, you know.
One of our good listeners says, everyone knows President Biden took documents that will incriminate him and his family in his grifting operation in Ukraine, effectively making him a foreign agent. It's a lie that they were inadvertently misplaced. It's a lie that they were inadvertently misplaced. Yeah, let me just pause here from the email. It's still illegally mishandling. So he's not out of hot water. He's just lying about it at the moment. But anyway, one of the lawyers that allegedly found them was with President Biden on stage when he bragged to the Foreign Council that he withheld funds from the Ukraine unless they fire the prosecutor investigating Burisma and was closing in on Hunter Biden's corrupt relationship there. Coincidence? No chance. Biden's past as a grifting, corrupt politician is catching up with him, and he and his crime family is in full cover-up mode. Bottom line, Biden is a foreign agent and a criminal, and the left is protecting him, says Craig. Well, there's definitely some truth to that. All right, 1-800. There I go again. At least I'm catching on myself. Yes, yeah, rehabilitation.
Right. You're
is
doing
the,
better.
Yeah, admission is the first step. All right, 570-743-9565 is our telephone number. 570-743-9565. 24 hours from now, Rob Center will make sure that all is calm at his home because the Eagles will be playing. 48 hours from now, I'll be probably glancing from time to time at my phone to see the Cowboys score. I doubt that I will watch any of it on TV, but in any event, we'll talk a little bit about the NFL. If you have anything you wish to say about any of the important topics that we've discussed, feel free to do so. Call now, 570-743-9565. One of our listeners sent us an email that says the greatest public fraud in U.S. history. I'll read that, and then we'll take the break. It is the Federal Emergency Management Agency did not have controls in place to prevent over $3.7 billion of improper payments from the Lost Wages Assistance Program. A recent report from the Office of Inspector General for the Department of Homeland Security found in 2020, in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, FEMA took funds from the Disaster Relief Fund for Lost Wages Assistance to help ease the economic burden for people who lost work because of coronavirus disease. FEMA partnered with 54 state workforce agencies to rush $44 billion out the door to people who lost their jobs due to COVID-19. Thanks to a lack of basic accounting controls, 21 of those 54 agencies distributed more than $3.7 billion in improper payments in just 6 weeks. Included in the $3.7 billion of improper payments is $3.3 billion in potentially fraudulent payments, $21.6 million in overpayments, and $403 million in payments made without required self-certification attestations to it. Well, you had to know, as you know, in the past, what was it, the past 3 years, we've borrowed from our great-great-grandchildren probably, what, about $8 trillion or so? Would that be the pandemic stimulus?
You look at it, in 2009, 2010, the federal deficit was $9 trillion. Now it's $32.5 trillion. So we've added all that in just 14 years.
Right. Call us now for a quickie comment on that, 570-743-9565. We will be right back.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Friday. Is it Friday already?
All right, well, welcome back. Thank you, Rob Center, for that fabulous. Let's Mike gets another minute from Bloomsburg, sir. Go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, gentlemen. You know, before I would touch Social Security, Medicare, and some of the other social programs, I would go through the defense, Pentagon, intelligence budget with a fine-tooth comb. I'd make them pass an audit, which they really, by law, were supposed to have been doing for quite a few years now. They never done it. And I would also eliminate corporate, what I call corporate welfare, giving money to corporations that already have fabulous profits. I'd do those two things first before I'd start eating into the social programs.
And you know what? If you went to Washington, you know what they would do to that? What did you say? They ostracize the middle, or they
you can't be
crucify
in the middle. Crucify the middle.
You're right. The smart people down there.
The defense stuff has become a jobs program. It's a jobs program. So, yeah, I'm not saying this is going to happen because the weapons industry, that's an evil entity that has taken... I mean, we've been defeated, basically. It's a jobs program. Right. Nobody's ever going to attack the United States except maybe like on January 6th or March 6th, whatever it was, internally. But no country is crazy enough to attack us, and we just keep repeating these arsenals. We have systems that are outdated, and the generals say this stuff.
Yep. So. We looked up the definition of insanity, and it are us.
Well, Mike, I want to just say something. The last audit that the Defense Department had, there was like $300 billion that they couldn't account for. So there's a lot of waste and fraud. You are exactly right.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike.
Well,
thanks for calling in.
One last point.
Yep.
Tell that to Dan Muser. He's supposed to be looking. He's on the Finance Committee of some sort. Tell him to get a set of you-know-what-skis and get in there and do something for it.
Not just Dan Muser, Cartwright, and all the rest of them.
All of them. Yeah, I agree.
Right.
Have a great day.
Thank you, sir.
Yep, you too.
Yeah, both G.T. Thompson and Congressman Muser say they're going to talk to us on a regular basis, but I can tell you our relationship with Fred Keller went sour when we kept saying, or when I said to him on multiple occasions, when you went to Harrisburg, you were a watchdog. Now you're in Washington. You're part of the crowd. What happened? You know, he got irritated about being asked that in different forums all the time.
The problem in Washington is if you want to have any say at all, you have to be on one side or the other. If you're in the middle, you're a nobody. You know, you don't even count because you're only one vote. So if you want to be heard in Washington, if you want to be important in Washington, you either have to be on the left or the right. The middle has disappeared over the years. So you either have to be a partisan on one side or a partisan on the other side.
Are you partisan when it comes to the NFL? Do you have a team?
I don't really have a team. I like football, and so I think the Cowboys are peaking at the right time.
Oh, okay.
Now the Eagles are tough, and I usually root for Pennsylvania teams, but don't count the Dallas Cowboys out.
What am I going to hear from or see from your Eagles tomorrow night?
It's going to be a good game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. The Eagles are favored by 7.5 over the Giants, but they beat the Giants twice already this year. And the Eagles aren't playing as well right now as they did earlier in the season.
And the Giants are playing as well as
they
can. Yeah,
Giants. Yeah, they're much better, I think, now. And Saquon Barkley could really have a good game. The Eagles need to stop him in the running game. I still think the Eagles are going to win, but it won't be by a blowout.
Okay, fabulous. My Cowboys, good luck to them. The 49ers are a better team, but Cowboys are peaking, you say, right?
They're coming on.
Okay, super. Thank you, Rob, for being a fabulous producer all week long for Sunrise and occasionally on the Mark. Thanks for coming up, sir.
Always a pleasure, Mark.
Thank you, everybody, for putting up with me. And Joe will be back on Monday morning. We'll open up the phones without an 800 number. We're going to call it 570-743-9565. I'm writing it on my forehead as we do this. You're listening to WKOK Sunbury.